Well, I'm delighted to say that I am joined in the studio by a lovely gentleman, Mick Lowe. Hi, Mick. Thanks for coming in.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Mick is from the Tunbridge Model Engineering Society, so you can tell us all about that. You've been bringing model steam trains to Tunbridge for over 80 years. It's been established a long time. How long have you been associated with the group?
I've been a member of the club for about 50 years now. I joined with my father-in-law, my late father-in-law, when, back in the mid-70s, and been there ever since.
Has it changed a lot in that time?
It's changed quite a bit. The main layout of the track hasn't changed too much, but of course we've got the carriage that people know and love. There was an old carriage there beforehand, which we had to knock to pieces and burn. And we've had the workshop behind. Roof got blown off that in the great hurricane of 1987.
Yeah, the big storm, yeah.
So that has been rebuilt, and we've now got a garage which we use for storing coal and bits and pieces, which we didn't have before. That was that was secondhand, so it has changed a fair old bit. Yeah, wow.
But the children and people that have enjoyed the railway and all that time, 50 years, that's amazing, isn't it? Well done for you for doing that.
Say.
How many members do you have, Nick?
We have about around about 84, 85, some of which we don't see year on year, but we have an active core of about 30 to 40 members.
Mm-hmm. And what is your typical member? What sort of age group are we looking at?
Well, sadly, they tend to be fairly old because they tend to join the club after they've finished their working life. So I wouldn't like to put a figure on what the average is, but it'd be older than some clubs, which, of course, is one of the problems we have for us, that people tend to move on from this world to the next and leave us with a gap in expertise, etc.
So do you find, like you did, you joined because your father was involved? Does that happen generally? People, do you see members turning up with, you know, grandchildren, sons, daughters? I mean, do you have men and women associated with the group?
We have a few women. It's not the sort of thing that attracts itself to women. But our treasurer, for example, is a woman. It is mostly men.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us about the track itself. How long is the track?
Well, it's a funny thing because we've tried measuring it with a pedometer before and we've come up with different results every time, but it seems to be between a quarter of a mile and a third of a mile.
Mm-hmm. And just going back to the members, do you have to be a train enthusiast to do what you do? Or is it the engineering side of it that's attracted people?
It's a variety of things. Obviously, being a train enthusiast helps, but we're there to promote all sorts of model engineering, not just specifically trains, although trains tend to predominate. But just a general interest in things mechanical, I think, is the defining factor.
Mm. So, how many locomotives do you have?
We have about 40. They're owned by the people who bring them down. There's probably about 20 steamers and the same number in electric.
So, do you have to have your own engine?
No, you don't. We have two club steam engines and, at the moment, two club electric engines. We might be buying another one fairly soon.
Okay, so if you haven't got an engine but you just want to get involved, that's okay?
That's okay. Yeah, we're quite happy to... once people have gone through a fairly elementary driving test, they are allowed on the track on electric locos. Steam ones are a bit more complicated and the driving qualifications is a bit more onerous.
Because I often wonder when I visit, because my son was when he was a little boy, absolutely loved a steam train, whether it was a model engine or a full size, he was on it. So we saw a lot of them as bringing him up. But I often wondered, steam trains, model steam trains, they're potentially very dangerous, aren't they? I mean, you're building up energy in the engine. Do you ever have any mishaps?
No. They're not really dangerous. Sometimes, and very, very rarely, we get sparks coming at the top of the chimney, which can burn a small hole in your clothes, but it tends to affect the drivers who are at the front more than anything else. We do have some spark arresters on some of the locos to make sure that sparks don't fly up. We're operating at boiler pressures of about 80 psi, which is actually about the same as you get in a water main, so it's not incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
The engines are tested every 2 years. They go through a hydraulic test to make sure that that they are sound, and they go through what we call an accumulation test to make sure that the safety valves can carry away the steam generated within the boiler. So,
I mean, are you regulated by sort of national rules that that all model engineering societies have to abide by? I mean, is there a requirement of all societies to have the engines tested at a certain time?
No. There is an organisation called the Southern Fed, or the Southern Federation of Modern Engineering Societies, which sets out basic guidelines for people, but we're not compelled to follow them, but we tend to do that because it's in our interest to do so.
Mm. So you mentioned the carriage. So you've got this. You've got a new carriage.
Well, not new. It was mid-1930s, I think.
Is it new to you?
We've had it for 30 years.
Oh, have
so,
you? Okay.
No, we just sort of stopped all the traffic in the High Street when that was when that was delivered some 30 years ago. We had to collect it from Hoo Junction.
And that's what, somewhere for you to go and have a cup of tea and shelter out of the rain if it comes down, that kind of thing. What sort of facilities are there? Is it for the members to use?
It's just for the members. We have a very small kitchen area at one end and a library of modern engineering books and magazines at the other. We also store in it some of the seats for the carriages.
So the engines, everyone takes their engines home with them, do they?
Pretty well, yes. And you can imagine that they're fairly heavy.
Yes, they're not.
Put to manoeuvre.
I imagine, yes, they're not stored there. Yeah, they have to be taken away. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, it must take two people to get them into the back of a car.
Well, yes, we do have a couple of lifting trolleys. Most of the members who've got locos tend to bring them down in the state cars so we can lift the loco up to the height of the tailgate and then just push them through onto a bit of rail.
Yeah, that's good. Don't do your back in.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's take a short break.
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll talk about, well, this change is happening, aren't they, the Angel Centre, so we need to know about that. So let's have some music. You like Duran Duran. How
Love
about
that.
This?
Yeah.
You're listening to West Kent Radio. And I'm chatting to Mick Lowe from the Tunbridge Model Engineering Society. So, Mick, before we went to the break, we were talking about the society, about the club, and all what's going on over there. But, we're heading into the summer. It's going to get very busy. It probably is your busy time, I guess. Are you there? Is it mostly weekends? Or when can we see you?
We only run at weekends, Saturday and Sunday afternoons. We also run on bank holidays. But we start when the clocks go forward and we stop when the clocks go back. So that's those are our end stops. During the school holidays, we often run on Wednesday afternoons as well. Excuse me.
Okay.
That's about it. But we don't actually sell tickets or ask for a fixed donation. We just ask for people to make a contribution towards their running costs. So we don't...
So there's no fee.
There's no fixed fee. You can give as little, or preferably as much as you want to.
That's very reasonable.
We do have overheads. We have to. Our rent to the council is minimal, but we have to pay for electricity. We don't use much electricity, but there is a standing charge we have to meet, and insurance is a biggie for us.
Quite
a bit, because we have public liability insurance, and
of course.
And also, our insurance covers locos when they're being transported to and from the track. So it's
expensive.
That's a fairly hefty bill. And we have maintenance. The track itself takes a fair bit to keep them on piece. There's a lot of wooden sleepers which are now rotting out, and we're replacing those with plastic. But as you can imagine, with the number of beams we've got, the number of sleepers we've got, it's a long process. It's a bit like painting the fourth bridge.
Mm. Mentioning about the cost of it, how much on average is a locomotive if you wanted to buy one?
You can't put a figure on it. It depends what you're going to buy. You can buy an electric one for, I don't know, a few thousand, but some of the larger steam ones will cost a good deal more than that. Mm. But a lot of people do tend to make their own. It takes about 10 to 15 years to actually build a large steam engine, so it's because you have to make every little bit individually, so it's a big investment in time.
So they tend to be, you tend to build your own rather than buy them brand new from a company that makes them. Or do companies still make them, or are they mostly made by people?
There are companies that do make them. There's a magazine called The Model Engineer, and you can find adverts in the back of that from various companies. There are companies that make them, but mostly have a copper boiler, and the cost of the copper itself plus the man hours to cut everything to size, fold it into shape, and then braze it or weld it together is fairly substantial.
And the equipment you'd need for all of that as well. Yeah. So imagine, is there a second-hand market for them there? I imagine there must be.
Well, there is, because sadly, a lot of our members are in advancing years, and the locos are sold off once they've moved from this world to the next.
So what engine have you got?
I've got one this will make some of my members laugh, because it's been under my stairs for about 5 or 6 years, because it just needs a bit of work done to it, and I'm too busy doing other things. But I've got a 030 loco, which I built with my father-in-law years ago. So it's just a smallish pannier tank loco.
We have to dust her off and bring her out then.
Yes, I get reminded of that on a regular basis.
So the membership, is it free to join? How do we join? If are you looking for members, first of all?
Well, as I say, the membership tends to be fairly old, and it does pass on. We do like people to come along and join us. It's not expensive. We charge a £10 a year subscription plus a £10 joining fee, which includes £1 for a share in the club, because it is a charity. We have to have a shareholding, so it's not at all expensive. But if people just turn up and have a word with us and express their interest in various subjects that we're interested in, then we'll process their membership application form and move on.
Sounds really good, fun. Sounds great. And going back to visitors, is there a weight restriction, age restriction for people who want to ride on the train?
No, we'll have a lot of kids on the trains. But I should say that the society is basically to promote model engineering, and the track itself is to test the locos on. And we get better testing if we have passengers on behind. So it is primarily a model engineering society, not one that's there to provide rides for the public. But we do enjoy giving people rides, and of course the contribution they make helps us with our finances. But there's no weight restriction. It would be very difficult to impose one, I think. So so far as the age of the children are concerned, we put that in the hands of the parents. We'll take on any child. If the child is small, then we just make it quite clear that the decision to put the child on the on our trolley is that of the parents. We don't get involved in that.
It's a marvellous thing. So we're worried. The Angel Centre is being relocated. How's that going to affect you?
Well, that was a concern at one point. As you say, the Angel Centre is going to be relocated, but we feel that the site that we occupy is not at all suitable for it. It floods on a regular basis, as the swimming pool found out when that was built and got flooded soon after. The access roads are small. You have to drive through the Slade, and if you were to have a large community centre, then that wouldn't really be sustainable. But we did have a meeting with the council, and they have confirmed that they have no plans to put the redeveloped Angel Centre, if it is redeveloped, on our site. The main reason for redeveloping the Angel Centre is apparently that it doesn't meet modern CO2 emission standards without a massive injection of money. So the reasons for moving it are not that strong, but we have met with the council. Matt Broughton was the council leader, and he was quite helpful, and even apologised to us for any concern which had been generated as a result of the confusion over the future of the site. So we're fairly confident we will be staying where we are and where we have been since 1951, and that has now been confirmed in writing by the council.
Oh, that's good news. That's really reassuring, isn't it?
Yes, it was.
That's brilliant news. Okay, well, good for you, Mick, and great what you're doing. I shall be down there this summer with my little grandsons and granddaughters. We'll all go for a ride around. I'm sure we'll have a great time. But, Mick, thanks for coming in today to tell us all about it. It's really nice to meet you.
It's been interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Do keep in touch. I'm sure there'll be open days and all sorts of things going on throughout the summer. So check out. You've got a website.
We have. Sadly, I can't remember the time. If you Google up Tunbridge MES or Tunbridge Modern Engineering Society, it will be found fairly easily.
Brilliant. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that then, and let us know if there's anything going on. We'll certainly give you all a shout out. So brilliant for now. Thanks.
Okay. As I think I mentioned, we do have an open day later this year.
Yeah.
But again, I can't remember the date of that because I Shows my inadequacy as a chairman. I didn't make a note of it. But,
well, let's know. We'll put it on the events guide. Let's know what's going on. Brilliant. Thanks, Mick. Brilliant. Okay. Thanks for coming in. Thanks.